Camera's ready? If you would, turn to 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. We're continuing on through our study in the book of 2 Corinthians. There's not too many more chapters left. We should be well done with this study by the time our conference comes around, I would think. Now, tonight in chapter 8, Paul, if you remember, this is the letter he's writing back to the Corinthians after he's received word from Titus and some others that of the changes in the progress that's been made in the church at Corinth since his first letter. He talks more about Titus tonight in this chapter, and we'll see when we get to it. But if you remember, Titus had gone there to help with teaching and preaching correction and explaining parts of Paul's first letter. And if you remember from the first letter, Paul was supposedly in Ephesus at that time, is what my understanding. In this second letter, he appears he's in Macedonia. And if you remember, there were several churches in Macedonia, so I'm not sure if he was with one of the churches or with just traveling. I don't know. but he talks about Macedonia a bit tonight in the first part of the chapter. So let's start with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. I've been doing good all day without this. Anyway, so Paul brings up the churches in Macedonia, and if you remember, in the book of Acts, it tells us a little bit more about when Paul's journey, his missionary journey that he took through Macedonia. Here we see it's the same story. The country of Macedonia was a poor place. It wasn't. They were having financial problems there. There were many trade cities there. You remember? Before I mess it up, let me look at my map. So you had in Macedonia, you had Thessalonica, Philippi, Berea, and those were all along the coast. And there were some other places there that I'm not going to try to pronounce, but that we know Paul traveled to multiple times. He went back and forth through that part of the country, or that part of the world. Corinth, on the other hand, was at the southern tip of what then was called Achaia, but was originally and now today is called Greece. It was a much wealthier place than these other cities in Macedonia. Now, he mentions that here in verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. In other words, even though they were being afflicted by poverty, they were still joyful in the Lord. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. And the gift he's talking about here is the gift of preaching. preaching the gospel in particular. And take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now, I want to point out something here. He says, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. He's not talking about salvation here. He's talking about after they were saved. They gave their lives to the Lord. They dedicated their lives, is what we would refer to it today. They dedicated their lives to the Lord. Remember, he's talking about people who were already saved, people who were already in the churches in Macedonia. And unto us by the will of God. So they, how would that apply to salvation if they gave themselves to the Lord and to Paul or Paul's traveling companions? Salvation doesn't make any sense in this context here. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. So Paul was expecting Titus to go to Corinth and to preach the same things that Paul was preaching to the churches in Macedonia, which was the doctrines, not just the doctrines of grace or the doctrines on the gospel, but the doctrines of the church doctrines, how a church was to operate. That was the problem in Corinth. They had forgotten and had gotten away from how the church was to operate. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in diligence, and in your love to see, in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. So he's given the example here of to the church at Corinth how the churches in Macedonia were doing. They're abounding in grace. What grace? God's grace. They're abounding in. They're learning. They're applying what they've learned to their daily lives, to the preaching of the gospel, to the feeding of the sheep, to their church business, to their personal lives. And he's telling the church at Corinth, I'm hoping you'll do the same. And by sending Titus, he's assured that they're doing the same. Now, we'll see more about Titus later. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now, Paul says not by commandment. We've heard Paul say this before. And there's a few places in his letters where he says not by commandment. In other words, it's not something that's commanded by the Lord, but it's a good practice. That's what he means by that. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So don't worry about it if you're poor. You know, the example here, the people of Macedonia was that they were in poverty, yet they were joyful in the Lord because of God's grace. And he's telling the people in Corinth, don't look down on these people. You know, they're believing the same and preaching the same things you are. You can look to each other for examples. The people in Macedonia, remember when Paul was in Macedonia, and I think it was I don't remember how many chapters back, but remember Paul, he thanked the people in Corinth for helping him financially and with provisions and all that while he was in Macedonia. They cared for, the people in Corinth actually cared for Paul enough that they sent him help. Just like we do with missionaries today. If, you know, we have a missionary, we've had a missionary who's had some health problems in the past, and sometimes we send him a little extra help besides his regular monthly support. That's what Paul was talking about. They sent him some extra, something that he wasn't expecting, and for whatever his need was at the time. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who hath begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. So, he says, I give my advice. This is not a commandment from the Lord. This is my advice. It's good advice. He says, for this is expedient for you. It's good for you, in other words. It's going to be a blessing to you. And isn't that the way it is when we, whether we give money or we give groceries or we help someone, take them to the doctor or whatever? God blesses us for that, doesn't he? Who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. So it's been a year since, it sounds like it's been a year anyway. That's what I'm taking from this, since they sent their help to Paul while he was in Macedonia. But then in verse 12 he says, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. We give willingly. You know, who gives us that willing mind? The Lord does. But it can also be affected by how we're living too. If we're not living in the Lord as we should be, our willingness is not so willingness, or it's not, the willingness is not directed in the right direction. We might be willing to help a close family member, but would we be willing to help our brother and sister in the church? You know, that's a lot of people are that way. They'll go out of their way to help someone on their job that it is lost, and I'm not saying that's not it can be a good thing. You can be blessed for that. But when it comes to helping their brothers and sisters in the church, if there's a poor family in the church or there's someone going through hard times, they won't help them at all. Paul encouraged the churches to help each other, to help their own. And like I said, it's not a bad thing to help others, because that can be a witness. But we have to be very careful about that. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. In other words, don't go above your means when you go to help somebody. If you don't have enough to help somebody, but you're willing, that's a good thing, but don't put yourself in debt to help other people. That's what he's talking about here. Don't make it a burden on yourself, because if it's meant for the Lord, if the Lord means for them people to be helped, he'll help them. And it might be somebody besides you that gets the blessing that time. You know, sometimes we get greedy with our blessings, don't we? We want to be the ones to be a blessing to somebody, and sometimes the Lord doesn't provide what we want to give. We have a good willingness, but maybe it's not our turn. Maybe it's somebody else's turn to receive that blessing. And maybe it may be the Lord teaching that person that's needing the help a lesson too, and he may let them fall. You know, you never know. Verse 14, by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also might be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. What is he talking about here? Well, remember, the city of Corinth and the church at Corinth were very wealthy. They had the means to help other churches, and they did. We see proof of that. They not only helped Paul, but they also helped the churches of Macedonia. I'm not sure about the church at Corinth, but we know there were other churches in that part of the world that helped Jerusalem at times. Antioch did. We know for sure. But he says, know at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want. Talking about helping the churches in Macedonia. And that their abundance may also be a supply of your want. What was the want or the need in Corinth? Teaching. Forgiveness. It was the example of grace is what the church in Corinth was lacking in. They knew about it. They had been taught it, but they had forsaken it and they had gotten away from it. And the churches in Macedonia were a fine example of it. And that's what Paul is trying to tell the people in Corinth. Look to the Macedonians for example in the things that you need spiritually. Verse 15, as it is written, he that gathered much had nothing over. In other words, he had nothing extra. And he that had gathered little had no lack. In other words, you know, he gathered a little, he got enough. Now, the rest of this chapter is speaking a lot about Titus. Verse 16, but thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Titus willingly went to Corinth. He didn't have to go. According to what we read here in the earlier part of this chapter, Paul didn't force him to go. He went on his own. He saw the need. He heard about the letter that Paul had written to him. Matter of fact, if I remember correctly, Timothy was the one that delivered the first letter and was there when they went through, they read it, and he stayed and taught them for a little bit. At some point, Titus showed up and helped Timothy, and then Timothy left. And Titus stayed for a short time. And now he's come back to Paul and has told Paul the good news of the correction that has taken place in Corinth. And so now Paul is addressing that matter. He says, but thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. So in other words, instead of writing a letter like Paul did, he personally went. Now Paul, if you remember, wanted to go, but couldn't. It wasn't God's will for him to go. Titus, on the other hand, it was God's will for him to go, so he went. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. Now, I've looked this up. Nobody has any idea who this might be. Now, Gil gives some, he says it's not, he doesn't know, but there were some, I guess, in his day that seemed to think it might be Luke, or it might be one of the apostles, or maybe even Barnabas, someone like that. The way he talked, there was no way of knowing, which I agree. There's no way of knowing who this other man was, but it was somebody that all the churches knew about. Someone popular, a popular preacher of the day. He says, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. In other words, he's somebody that all the churches trusted. It wasn't just anybody. It was somebody they trusted. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with his grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. We see a little bit more about this man, but we still don't know who he is. Could be anybody. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. So this man was a good example. He was a good one to go with Titus, in other words. He was, remember, one of the problems that Paul had with Corinth was there were some people there who didn't trust Paul for different reasons. They thought he was being, especially after his first letter, they thought he was being too cranky and too too much complaining, you know, in his letter. And so they had a problem with all that. Titus and this other man went there and they took care of that. They explained to the people why Paul wrote the letter. They went through the letter and they explained to them and taught them the things that Paul was trying to teach them. You know how it is, sometimes you write a letter and it comes across in the wrong way. Well, that's kind of the way Paul's letter was, but at the same time it was exactly what he wanted to say, but to the people at Corinth it came across in a bad way, a way that they was that Paul didn't intend at first. Now, eventually, after Titus and this other man was there and taught them and explained things to them, they began to see that Paul did it in a loving way. And he did truly write that letter in a loving way. It's just they took it. It's just like we've talked about recently about church discipline. And that's what a lot of the letter was concerning, was church discipline. The people who need the discipline oftentimes blame everybody else for their problems. And especially, I can tell you from my own experience and from other pastors that I've talked with in the past, they'll tell you the same thing. The pastor always gets to blame. When there's church discipline enacted, the pastor always gets to blame. It's all his fault. You know, I've told people, I said, the pastor is just the moderator of the meeting. Now, he can make recommendations, but it's the congregation that votes on it. And yet, people will still be friends and love the congregation, but to hate the pastor. You know, so it's not that I'm trying to make y'all a scapegoat for it. It's just that that's how it works. If you come to a business meeting, you see that the pastor is just the moderator. He does not, or he should be anyway. He is not. He's not the the king over the congregation. That's the Lord. So, anyway, that's what happened in Corinth. Is these people that were being disciplined didn't like it, and some of the ones that weren't, the family members of the ones that were being disciplined, didn't like it, and they blamed it all on Paul. And Titus and this other man went there to smooth things over, if you want to put it that way. They went there to smooth things over. They're like, look, Paul did this in a loving way. He did it because he loves you. It's just they didn't take it that way in the beginning. They eventually they did. And so when they did, Titus comes back to Paul and tells him. And so that's what a lot of the second letter to the Corinthians is about. In verse 20, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Now, remember, there were things that were going on in the church at Corinth that had kind of spilled out over into the community. Remember the guy who had the affair with his stepmother in chapter 5? It was well known throughout the community that the church let that happen and didn't do anything about it. And that's what Paul addressed. So he brings that out here. He's providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Church discipline not only is seen by the Lord, but it's also seen by the community around us. And if you don't think so, especially in our day where you have social media, what's that old saying, the bit dog barks the loudest? The person that gets disciplined is usually the one that screams the loudest when they're disciplined, because they think that they've been wronged, even though they're the ones in the wrong. Verse 22, and we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence that I have in you. This man that he keeps bringing up here, along with Titus, is obviously somebody who had traveled with Paul a great deal, someone that he had trusted, maybe even someone that he taught, like he taught Timothy and Titus. I don't know. But he's someone who's trustworthy as far as spiritual matters are concerned. He says, "We have sent with him our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things." In other words, he's a good teacher. "Upon the great confidence which I have in you." In other words, he's a great teacher in the things that you've been taught in, and I'm trusting that you will hear what he's got to say and change and go back to the way that you were taught. "Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ." Now, remember, there was no church organizations back then as far as conferences or fellowships or Catholicism, anything like that was not, those things had not been invented yet. These churches were truly independent Baptist churches. They were not under the umbrella of some organization. Even Paul talks about how, and if you read his letters, even though he's an apostle, he's not the ruler over the churches. He has the authority from the Lord to teach them and to correct them, but he has no other rule over them. He couldn't go in there and himself and tell them to fire their pastor and bring somebody in he wanted. You don't see Paul doing that. Now, we do see where he sent men like Timothy. He sent Timothy to Ephesus and to some other places to pastor for times. But it was because the people requested a pastor. He knew they needed one. But he says, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. So one of the things that I kind of understand, and I may be wrong on this, but one of the things I kind of understand is the churches in that day, they weren't that close together, for one. It was quite a long walk to go to place to place. In our day and time, if you had a car, it wouldn't be that far to go. But in their day, it was a long walk. But they kind of looked out for each other. If one of the churches was not doing things the way they should be doing, they reported it to the other churches, and even to Paul the apostle. We know it seems as though John the apostle had some of that responsibility also. And I'm talking about John that wrote Revelation. He was supposedly one of the elders at Ephesus before he went to the Isle of Patmos, and he helped with things in that part of the world with the churches. But these churches didn't rule over each other, but they helped. If they saw a church that was in need, they helped them. Whether it was financial or spiritual, whatever it was. Verse 24 in our last scripture reading, "Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf." In other words, be a good witness of what you're doing. What was the proof of their love? Well, remember, not only did they abide by the first letter that he wrote and made some changes, but part of their love and the love that he keeps bringing up, that he keeps bragging about on those people, is their love for the other churches and their love for God's missionaries and God's preachers. They were helping them financially. Just like we mentioned with Paul, there were times that the church at Corinth sent him money. They sent him whatever he needed for food, especially when he was in Macedonia in a poverty-stricken area. And it was out of love that they did these things. It was of a willing mind that they did these things. It was not the Apostle Paul didn't go to them and beg for, you know, that was, I think, when I was a missionary for a short time, that was the hardest thing for me, was to go to a church and feel like you were begging for money. And missionaries do that sometimes. You see, I don't think the missionaries that we've had here since I've been here, well, I haven't seen any of them do that here. But I know some who do. They go around and begging for money, and in their mission reports they beg for money. You know, oh well, I, you know, my old car broke down and I need a new one, there's multiple other things. You know, I need money for this or for that or for whatever. And if they truly need the money, sometimes we don't always understand what goes on the mission field, especially in a foreign country. Sometimes there's, you know, there are places in the world where mobs rule, and sometimes they have to pay a toll to go, just to use a road to go from one village to the next. That happens. But their regular support should be taken care of, most of that. It's the unusual things that when they need things that we need to hear about. So remember the church at Corinth and how Paul boasted on them of their love for the brethren, not just in the church itself, but of the other churches. I think a lot of the churches we fellowship with, if someone, one of the churches, for example, a few years ago, remember when, and that was before I came here, but when they had the big flood in West Virginia and some of the churches were affected, a lot of the churches chipped in and sent clothes and food and money to help those people. And they sent it to the churches, though. They didn't send it to the governor or the National Guard or the Red Cross. They sent it to the churches. And that's how churches should do. Let those people in that area decide where it needs to go. If it needs to go to the congregation, if the congregation is doing okay, give it to other people in the community and be an example. So we'll stop there for tonight.